do up there.
I'll just preach from that. Well, good morning. It's good to see everyone out this morning. And let us always keep in mind our purpose for being here, the worshiping the Lord and the joy that we should have from that. Appreciate the songs, the prayer, the discussion at the Lord's table, all good things that we need to reflect on. Well, last week we discussed praying to God, our prayer life, and pouring out our hearts and our thoughts before the Lord. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, cast your anxieties on Him, for He cares for you. And the importance of using our prayers to express those things to God. This week, I want to discuss the idea of expressing our sorrows to one another. Being there for one another in the midst of good and difficult times. If there is one thing, and I'm sure there are several things as we will reflect back on this year, if the Lord spares us in years to come, but definitely one takeaway from 2020 is that we need one another. We need the encouragement and support and help that we provide one another. And so I want to talk about and challenge us with this idea of being there for one another, bearing one another burdens, if you will. In John 13 through John 17, Jesus is just hours away from His arrest. And as He is a short time away from His arrest and all of the things that He is going to suffer, He knows in John 13 all of the things that are going to come upon Him. And so He begins to talk with His disciples. And John 13 through 17 are just discourse to His disciples, along with a prayer that He prays before everything takes place. And He tells them in John 13, in verses 34 and 35, that the mark of discipleship, the way people will identify them, is by their love for one another. If you show love toward each other, then you will show the world that you are disciples of mine. In John 15, just a few chapters later, but actually in this same section, in verses 18 through 16 in verse 4, He tells the disciples to expect difficulty and hard times and rejection by the world. But in our midst, there should be love and there should be help and there should be the bearing of each other's burdens. It is interesting when Paul writes to the Galatian brethren in Galatians chapter 1, he is concerned about them falling away from the faith. Galatians 1, 6 through 7, I am amazed that you so quickly desert the faith that you have come to believe. And as he concludes that book, one of the things that they need to work on is bearing one another's burdens, Galatians 6 in verse 2. This is something that they need to do. Paul tells the Roman brethren in Romans chapter 12 in verse 15, rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 in verse 26, Paul, discussing the body and how we should all be unified and one, says in verse 26, if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all members rejoice with it. This is a consistent theme throughout the New Testament, bearing one another's burdens, being there for one another during good and difficult times, because that is what love is. Love is not fair weathered. Love is the choice to stand by someone despite what comes along their way. One famous quote that I often hear, and I don't even know who originally said it, but friendship doubles our joys and divides our sorrows. Are we fulfilling these words in bearing one another's burdens and helping each other in the struggles that we face in life? If we seek to do this, it means that we are seeking to pattern ourselves after our Creator and our Maker. Because God Himself is depicted as bearing burdens for His people. Turn in your Bibles over to the book of Psalms in Psalm 68. In Psalm 68, in verse 19, the psalmist says this, and this is a powerful verse, but he says in Psalm 68, in verse 19, "Blessed be the Lord who daily bears our burden, the God who is our salvation." Salah. The psalmist depicts God each day bearing the burdens of His people, the difficulties, the pains, the trials. God bears these along with His people. In Matthew chapter 11, in similar language, Jesus calls us to lean upon Him. And in Matthew chapter 11, in verses 28 through 30, He says, "Come to Me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light." Jesus twice in verse 29 and in verse 30 speaks of His yoke, and often a yoke is made for two different animals. And I think that the concept that is presented here is that even though you might go through trial and difficulty, you can lean and rely upon Jesus because He's going to pull and help you through those difficulties. He is going to join you in those burdens and help you to work your way through them. In Galatians 6 and verse 2, which we referenced earlier, Paul says that we are to bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. God is a God that is pictured as concerned for His people and knowing what they're going through and seeking to bear their burdens with them. And so if we likewise seek to come alongside those who are hurting and those who are afflicted and to help them to bear their burdens in life, we are imitating our Lord and our Savior. And there is no one better for us to become more like. But if we decide not to follow these particular commands and we are dismissive, "Oh, well, though they've got it under control, they don't need my help, that's just too much required of me," we are doing the exact opposite, not only of what God has called us to be, but the example that He has set for us. To bear one another's burdens makes us more like our Lord and Savior. But you know, in order to bear one another's burdens, we are going to have to be honest with one another about our struggles and our trials. Turn in your Bibles to Proverbs 14. In Proverbs 14, in verse 10, Solomon makes this observation about life. He says in verse 10, "The heart knows its own bitterness, and a stranger does not share its joy." When we go through something, when we experience something, it is we and we alone that knows how that affects us, whether that causes us pain at the beginning of the verse or whether that causes us joy. We are the ones who really know how that makes us feel. Sometimes two people might go through a very similar experience and yet respond to it completely different because it affects them in completely different ways. And so if we are going to bear one another's burdens with one another, we are going to have to share the depths of our sorrow and the heights of our joy with one another. We do not know always how people are feeling or what they are going through, but we must be honest and vulnerable with one another to share these things. If we want people to understand our situations, then we must share it with them. But you know that the honest part of this, the true part of this is often very difficult for us. Honesty leads to vulnerability. And quite frankly, we don't like to be vulnerable with people. We're afraid, well, what if we share with somebody our struggles or our difficulties, they might think less of us for whatever reason. They might remember that years in the future. And so often we downplay our struggles and our trials. It really doesn't matter what is going on in our life. When people ask us how we are generally quick to respond with something positive or something cliche. We're doing fine. We may not really be doing fine at all, but it is terrifying to be honest and vulnerable with people, and it is just much easier to be dismissive and to say, I'm doing okay. But if we are going to truly bear one another's burdens, that requires that we must share these things with us, with one another. And in order to do that, we are going to have to create a culture of love where we are truly interested in bearing one another's burdens. Where we truly are interested in knowing what goes on in one another's life and how we might assist each other. And that's going to demand probably a lot from us. It is going to demand that we be patient with one another. In 1 Corinthians 13, Paul lists some certain characteristics of love. And I don't know that those are meant to be exhaustive. But he lists certain characteristics, and I think that the ones that he lists are specifically geared toward problems that the Corinthians are having. But one of the ones that he highlights in verse 4 is that love is patient. If one of the things that marks us as disciples in John 13, 34, and 35 is love, then love is going to be marked with patience with one another, with bearing with one another, with long suffering. And sometimes that is very difficult, to be patient with one another. As people express their thoughts and their sorrows toward us, we need to be extremely patient because often people in pain do not express things as well as they probably would like. There is a lot of lessons that we can learn from our sorrows and struggles and suffering. But oftentimes in the moment, all we feel is pain, and it is difficult to fully express that pain. Think about the story of Joseph in Genesis chapter 44, Genesis 41 and 45. As he reflects on his suffering and pain, he has learned lessons from it. But when he's in the midst of it in Genesis chapter 40, all he can think about is how he's been wrongly treated. Sure, there's lessons to be learned. But that's not what he was thinking about in that moment. And I think at its heart, in many ways, this is where Job's friends failed Job. There's some positive things about Job's friends that are told us in chapter 2 and even in chapter 42. But they weren't very patient with him as he expressed his pain and his sorrow. In Job chapter 6, as they're briefly into their discourse, Job makes a statement about the words of one who is in pain that I think probably most of us should reflect on carefully. He says in Job 6 in verse 26, "Do you intend to reprove my words when the words of one in despair belong to the wind?" In other words, don't take my words too seriously. I'm in pain. I'm trying to express my pain. You have been good enough to come here and to sit with me and to spend time with me. And now I'm trying to express what I am going through and what I am feeling. And all of a sudden you feel the need to correct me. No, the words of one who is in despair just belong to the wind. Be patient with me as I seek to pour out what I feel and what I have experienced recently. In Job 16, in verses 1 through 6, Job calls them sorry comforters in verse 2, a passage that I'm sure that you are familiar with. And in verse 3, he says, "Is there no limit to windy words? Or what plagues you that you answer? I too could speak like you if I were in your place. I could compose words against you and shake my head." In other words, it's often easy to correct someone, "Well, you really shouldn't say that," with someone who's in pain. They're not necessarily thinking clearly. It's easy to critique and correct them. Job says, if situations were reversed, I could do the same to you. Or, verse 5, "I could strengthen you with my mouth, and the solace of my lips could lessen your pain." He says, you could use your words in order to criticize and critique, or you could use your words to help and encourage and build up.
Amen.
And Job says, no matter what, I'm still in pain. In verse 6, "If I speak, my pain is not lessened. And if I hold back, what has left me?" In other words, sometimes sharing your feelings with others doesn't just magically make it disappear, but just keeping it to yourself really doesn't do a whole lot of good either. It's not like there are magic answers and solutions to these things. And so why not, friends, use your words to encourage and help and be patient with me in this particular time of need. When dealing with one another, and especially when dealing with those who are in need, I think these are good verses to remember. To remind ourselves to be patient and to not get too far off topic. those who are in pain do not often need theological lessons or training. They need to know someone is there who cares. I never forget, before Matthias was born, Haley suffered a miscarriage. And while there were several who offered kind words and who sought to be there for us, I never forget one person coming up to me right after we had found out and debating with me if a child who is miscarried in the womb would be in heaven or not if they had already received their soul. The whole time he was talking, I just thought, what in the world are you saying? Those in pain need encouragement and help, not theological lessons or debates. And I know a lot of times we may not think that what we do for someone is very much, but sometimes just simply being there for someone can make all the difference. Job's three friends, I think, do good at first when they come and are willing to sit with him. Think about David and Jonathan. In 1 Samuel 23, Jonathan tracks David down in the desert. And it says he encourages him in God. And in the next verse, 1 Samuel 23 and verse 17, he tells him, my father Saul's not going to get to you. You're going to be king. Don't worry about it. God's going to take care of you. Those were things that David probably already knew. And yet how much did it mean to David to have a friend to track him down in the wilderness just to spend time with him? David and Jonathan are a beautiful picture of a true godly friendship for us. And sometimes we don't need to be eloquent. And sometimes we don't need to be impressive. We just need to be there. And we just need to comfort. And we just need to love. And I tell you, there is great comfort in knowing that you have brethren that no matter what will always be there for you. Turn in your Bible to Proverbs 17. In Proverbs 17, in verse 17, Solomon says this, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. There's a great comfort in knowing that you have a friend who's always going to be there. There's a great comfort that you know when difficult times strike, your brother is not going to leave you. Your friend is going to be there. That no matter what, it's never inconvenient for them to be there with you and to bear your burdens with you. And I think perhaps in some ways this verse is best illustrated by Ruth. In Ruth 1, we read the story of Naomi and her husband and two sons who go to the land of Moab. Her husband dies, her sons marry, and then also die. She decides in 1 and verse 6, after hearing that God has visited his people, she's going to return back to Bethlehem. The famine has let up. And so her two daughter-in-laws strike out with her. And she tells them, you don't go with me. There's nothing to benefit you coming with me. You stay behind. And they both refuse at first. And then finally Orpha says, okay, well, I will go back. And she turns back. Naomi again begins to insist to Ruth, you return, you go back. Go back to your family. Go back to the land that you have known. And Ruth says, no. Wherever you go, I'm going to be there with you. Your God will be my God. Your people, my people. I'm never going to leave you. I'm always going to be there for you. What is funny about Ruth chapter 1 is I think really when you read Ruth 1 in its entirety, I don't even know that Naomi really necessarily at that point wants Ruth around. But Ruth says, no, I'm going to stand by you. I'm always going to be here for you. And she continually throughout the rest of the book makes sure Naomi is always cared for and always looked after. What a comfort. To have a daughter-in-law in this case, a friend or a brother, that no matter what is always going to be consistent. They're always going to be there. And they're always going to bear your burden with you. May we be the people that fulfill Galatians 6 and verse 2 and thus fulfill the law of Christ. May we indeed bear one another's burdens, ease one another's pain, and assist one another to be stronger and better in the Lord. Bow with me. O Lord, we thank you for all of the kindness and love and mercy that you have shown to us. We thank you that you are a God who hears us and bears our burdens with us. A God that longs to help us, longs to bless us and help us to endure the difficult days. Lord, we ask that we as a congregation seek to work together in unity and love. That you give us a heart for one another. A heart to care for each other, to love one another dearly, and to bear each other's burdens. Lord, we are often feeble in this. We do not know what to do or to say. Please guide us, give us wisdom and understanding, so that we might help each one in their unique circumstances. Lord, make us more like you. Give us your heart. Give us your love. And help us to reflect that to others. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.